My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
What is going on in the Treasury market? For Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The yield on a 10-year bond is the payoff you get over 10 years, the return. It reflects what investors think the economy and interest rates are going to be like over the next 10 years. So when investors started realizing months ago that this economy is going to have high interest rates for a long time, the market drove the yield on the 10-year up. Okay, makes sense. But now those yields are going up even more. So what is that telling us? Diane Swank is chief economist at audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG and joins us. Diane, why? Just why?
It really is an extraordinary sort of collision of events. So not only have we not gotten the recession that the Fed and many of us believe we would get, we've gotten acceleration in growth, which in and of itself actually justifies higher rates. That, along with fears that we could backslide on inflation, given the acceleration and growth we've seen in the wake of the most aggressive tightening cycle we've had since the early 1980s. And the Fed is sitting there looking at this and saying, you know, some of the work that they had expected to have to do with an additional rate hike is now being done by a much broader tightening of credit conditions.
Yeah, the 30-year fixed mortgage rate just hit 8% for the first time since 2000. How does that factor into this? I mean, the economy's doing great, sure, but that's rough, 8% mortgage rate.
It is. Well, and you know, and it's rough in the context of the kind of appreciation in home values we've seen. Affordability is down to mid-1980s levels. It's not as low as it was when we had 19% short-term rates in 1981, but still, it's extremely unaffordable to buy a home. Those higher mortgage rates add an arctic blast to what we call the mortgage winter, where people are frozen in place, but also first-time buyers are frozen out.
You mentioned this is kind of doing some of the tightening so that the Fed kind of doesn't have to. But where does that leave the Fed? I mean, where does the Fed go from here?
I think the Fed, actually, I think we're done with rate hikes, and the Fed holds to its higher for longer mantra and sort of gives us a hawkish hold as they get into the November meeting, November 1st. But I think this is a much more broadening of tightening conditions that will seep into the economy and really hit as many loans that were priced in 2020 through 2022 get reset at much higher rates.
Diane Swank is chief economist at the audit, tax, and advisory firm KPMG. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
The pandemic was such a financial roller coaster. There was a recession. There was a boom. A lot of people lost jobs. A lot of people got new jobs. So looking back at it, how did it all end up financially for people on the whole? Well, the Federal Reserve took a look, and the good news is net worth went up, even for low-income families. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
U.S. households' median net worth soared 37% from 2019 to 2022 after adjusting for inflation. That's according to the Federal Reserve's new survey of consumer finances, which also found that Black families' median net worth jumped 60%. Tulane University economics professor Gary Hoover says things like pandemic relief checks and extended unemployment helped fatten up bank accounts.
Those pandemic relief efforts were absolutely more geared towards the lower end of the wage distribution, where they would have had the biggest impact.
The Fed survey says wages increased the most for higher paid workers, widening inequality. Last year, average earnings didn't keep up with inflation, but Economic Policy Institute chief economist Josh Bivens says wages have actually outpaced price increases over the past 7 months.
I think we're set for some pretty good years for income growth, especially for sort of the bottom half.
Bivens says if wages can keep outpacing inflation, there could be some incremental improvement in inequality. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.
The fraud trial of Sam Bankman-Fried, co-founder of bankrupt cryptocurrency exchange FTX and trading firm Alameda Research, continues in New York. Bankman-Fried is facing 7 counts of fraud and conspiracy. This week, Nishad Singh took the stand. Singh was the head of engineering at FTX. He has pleaded guilty himself to fraud and is cooperating with authorities. New York Times technology and crypto industry reporter David Yaffe Bellany was in the room for the testimony and joined us outside the courthouse. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. So did anything come out of Nishad Singh's testimony that we previously did not know?
There are a lot of new interesting details that came out of Nishad's testimony. I mean, he talked a bit about the political contribution side of Sam Bankman-Fried's empire. And Nishad talked in a lot of detail about how that worked. He described a situation where Sam's younger brother basically sent him a stack of blank checks that he signed, which the younger brother then sort of used to make contributions to various people. And Nishad also talked in detail about Sam Bankman-Fried's kind of lavish spending at FTX, the way that, you know, he would pay for endorsements from celebrities or invest huge amounts of money in crypto companies without doing much due diligence, you know, that sort of thing.
And that's kind of what this case is all about fundamentally, right? Just using money from customers for things he should not be using it for.
Yes, absolutely. It's that he was treating customer accounts essentially as a piggy bank, taking this money and spending it on sort of all manner of kind of lavish, extravagant spending, you know, from political contributions to venture investments to charitable donations.
Singh talked about something called K5, which is an investment firm that connected Sam Bankman-Fried to celebrities. What role did K5 play in the rise and fall of FTX?
So K5 is a really interesting story. It's run by a former Hollywood agent named Michael Kivas, who was super connected to celebrities. Sam, he went to a Super Bowl party at Kivas' house, and he was sort of bowled over by the number of famous people there. And Sam immediately decided, you know, this could be incredibly useful for FTX. And he invested in Kivas' venture capital company, K5, on really sort of generous terms to the company. And this was one of those investments that raised a lot of red flags internally at FTX.
Right. I was going to ask, you know, overall, how is this trial looking for Mr. Bankman-Fried?
Things are not looking good. You know, a series of witnesses have given sort of quite damning testimony that the defense hasn't really succeeded in poking major holes in. But, you know, we'll see what happens if he takes the stand. I mean, that can really change the dynamic of the trial. You know, suddenly it's not whether the jury sort of believes that the prosecutors have gathered enough evidence to meet their burden. It's, you know, do I believe this guy who's staring me in the face and telling me that he's innocent?
New York Times technology and crypto industry reporter David Yaffe Bellany, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.